Probably everyone has, at some point, experienced the feeling of being afraid in the dark. And coming out of winter, many of us are anxiously awaiting longer periods of sunlight in our days. Our longing for the light and our fears of the dark are, in a sense, metaphors for our spiritual longings for safety, security, goodness, and more. Jesus said he has come to be the light of the world, to lead us to what is safe, secure, and good. Join us as we light the dark.
Awesome. What an incredible time we live in, where before the check has even cleared your account, we're seeing an effect on the other side of the world. Isn't that awesome? Because we call it a partnership all the time, and you know, we have financial resources. I know so many of you gave generously and sacrificially to that. You've probably heard it before. The average income there is about $23 a month. So you can figure out what it would take for them to be able to do that on their own. But man, are they ready to work, right? They jump in. As soon as they knew, they were ready to go. And it's been really cool to follow the progress, and we will keep you updated on that as well. We are in a series called Light the Dark. This is the 9th of 10 weeks. Next week, Easter, is the last week. And that gives me a chance to use one of my favorite words. This is the penultimate sermon in this message series. So if you don't know that word, I mean second to last, I give you a challenge. You have 24 hours to use that in a conversation. See if you can include penultimate in something that you say. There'll be more important takeaways from that, but that's the first one. Have you ever had access to something and you didn't realize it until later? You didn't know or you didn't understand that that's exactly what you had. Maybe you had to pay to have your car towed and you just called, you know, the tow place that was near you. You Googled one, you had it, and you paid for that. And then later you found out your auto insurance or a AAA membership or something like that would have paid for that towing for you. Some people, they find out that their health insurance will pay for a gym membership. You might want to look into that. They've figured out that it's a lot cheaper to pay for your gym membership than it is for healthcare. So if they, you know, can just try and do one and not the other, they will do that. And people look in and like, oh man, I didn't have to pay for the gym this whole time. A lot of people have Amazon Prime, and they don't realize that includes Prime Video and Amazon Music and things like that. We'll look up and we'll realize, oh, I had access to something, and I didn't even realize it. For me, as I was thinking back, probably the most dramatic one was when I was 24, because I didn't have health insurance, and I'm not recommending that, okay? I don't recommend a lot of things I did in my 20s, but I didn't have health insurance. You're one gallbladder surgery away from being bankrupt, so you need to do whatever you can to get health insurance. But I didn't, and I got sick, which is the problem. And so I had this sore throat, and it was bad, and it was getting worse, and I finally, after a few days, went to see Amy's mom, who is a nurse practitioner. And you never want nurses to be like this excited about something. She's like, oh, wow, that is terrible, right? She's like, Amy, come look at this. Come look at how bad his throat was. So finally, I just had to go to the doctor, and I went back to the family doctor I had growing up. And when I got there, I found out I was still on my parents' health insurance, right? I had health insurance this whole time, and I spent like a week struggling through. I had mono, and that was going to need to be treated before it went away. But we don't like to be wasteful, right? We don't like to have access to something useful or something even powerful and just totally squander it by never using it. I want to talk to you this morning about what I believe is the most underutilized resource in the Christian church, and that's the Holy Spirit. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I believe that the Holy Spirit is the most underutilized resource, I'll say, in the American Christian church. Right? Because if you travel abroad, if you go to Rwanda or you go to Mexico or you go to some of the other places that I've had the privilege of being, you don't find that to be as much of an issue. And we'll talk in a little bit about why I believe that is. But I think to fully grasp and understand how true this is, how underutilized the Holy Spirit is in the American church, we need to look at what Jesus promised his followers the Holy Spirit would do. And then we can just contrast that with how we actually utilize the Holy Spirit in our lives. So here's our main point, is that when Jesus left the earth, he sent the Holy Spirit to be an advocate for his followers. Now, you hear the term Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, Spirit of Truth, sometimes the third person in the Trinity. Those are all different names for this Holy Spirit. But what Jesus will refer to the Holy Spirit time and time again, as in these passages, is an advocate. And I like that term as the advocate. It's defined as one who pleads the cause of another. That's what an advocate does. So if you went to court for a serious matter, something more than like a traffic ticket or something like that, you would retain an attorney. And if it's cool, I'm going to pretend like I don't have any firsthand experience with this. So what I think would happen is the attorney would be your advocate. And that's for a few different reasons. They know more about the law than you do. They know how those proceedings are supposed to go. An attorney knows the right time and way to talk to a judge, right? They know the right time to stand up and say, "Your Honor, I object," which is a really cool thing that none of us get to do in life, right? Like, that's just a thing the rest of us miss out on. But the advocate, the attorney, would plead your cause on your behalf. That's what they do. Well, imagine going to court and trying to represent yourself, trying to fight through and figure out everything you need to know and do it all on your own, and then later find out that your family actually has an attorney on retainer and that you could have used that attorney for free. You had access to that. That's what I believe happens to us as Christ followers when we fail to utilize the Holy Spirit. Jesus left this advocate for all of us as believers, on retainer, ready to go, and many of us have failed to ever properly access that power. And truthfully, in working on this message, I realized how often I do this, how many times I've done this, how many times I've pushed aside the Holy Spirit and said, "I've got this one. Right, I can handle this. I can handle this meeting. Like, I've got to do it this way. I'm going to do that. You can sit this one out." And that's something for me that I enjoy about preaching, is that I'm not crazy enough to do that with preaching. So I know that every time I have an opportunity to preach on a weekend, that I'm gonna say, "God, I need your Spirit, right? I need you to fill me. I need you to be with me." You know, Pastor Vern and I talked about, there isn't a lonelier feeling than if you're up here preaching and you feel like you don't have the Spirit of God with you, right? So when I get to preach, I get to do that every time, but God says there's so many more opportunities to do that. You don't have to be up here to be able to do that, and I've realized the times that I failed to do that, and I want to look at that with you this morning. So we're going to examine particularly the words of Jesus about the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16, and we're going to pay particular attention to the promises that he makes about what the Holy Spirit will do. So we're going to start at John 14, 16 through 18. This is Jesus speaking to the disciples, and he tells them this: "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, this comes at a time as Jesus' time on earth is quickly concluding, and the disciples know he's going to be leaving earth soon. And Thomas is asking, "Lord, you say we're going to go with you, but we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And this is clearly, there's a lot of stress and concern for the disciples. And Jesus is using phrases like, "Do not let your hearts be troubled," which tells us that their hearts were troubled as they tried to process this. But then he tells them here, he says, "Guys, I have good news. My Father is going to send someone else to be with you. My Father is going to send an advocate who will not leave you like I'm about to leave you." And Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will help us and will be with us forever. So the first promise is that he makes his solution to his followers feeling like they're being orphaned by his return to heaven is to send another member of the Trinity to be with them, the Spirit of truth. And he tells them, the Spirit of truth will be familiar. You will recognize him, you'll know him, and he will be with you, and he will never leave you. And so he will come to us and he will be with us forever. That's his primary role, to be this ever-present help in the life of Jesus followers. And there's not many things that we can say that are ever-present in our lives, right? Things that will not let us down, things that we can continually count on. Because you should love the people that you're sharing your life with and you should invest in them, but people let us down. You should work hard in your job and you should take it seriously and you should work for God's glory, but you're probably not going to be in that job for the rest of your life. We have heroes, right? We have athletes or celebrities or entertainers or people that we really enjoy and they let us down time and time again. But Jesus says the Spirit will come and will be with you forever and you can count on that. And Jesus continues, he's going to show us how that help will manifest still in chapter 14, verses 25 and 26. He says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Now, keep in mind that these people at this time, they didn't have the written words of Jesus in the way that we do, right? They couldn't pull out a Bible and open it up. They couldn't open up their phone and get their YouVersion app and read that. And so there must have been some pretty intense concern to make sure that things were written down, that things were remembered, that things were maintained, these words of life that Jesus had shared with them during his time on earth. And Jesus says, you can do that and the Holy Spirit will do that with you. The Holy Spirit will be in that with you. The Holy Spirit will teach you and remind you of the words of Jesus. Now, we're in a drastically different situation than they were. And because of that, I think we have an opportunity and also a responsibility to fill our hearts and our minds with the words of Jesus, right? With truths from Scripture, with meaningful worship music. But it's the Holy Spirit that brings those things to our mind when we need them the most. Have you ever had the perfect verse, the perfect truth from Scripture, a lyric from a worship song we sang the weekend before, brought to your mind at just the right time when you need it? That is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. For me, there was such a long time in my life where everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, right? Was like the first like preset button for the Holy Spirit for me, right? He just like pushed that button again, like he needs that one, he needs that one. For some of us, we have that at the right time where we hear the Holy Spirit saying, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we have these truths that are in our life and the Holy Spirit brings them at the right time. We were working on this with our girls because you can memorize Scripture. You can, adults, that's true. Kids, they also can, and they don't know yet that it's hard, so they just do it. And so we've been working with our kids to memorize Scripture. And one of the things, you know, they'd wake up at night and they'd be nervous and they'd be anxious, and so they memorized Psalm 4:8, which says, I will lay me down and sleep in peace, for you alone make me dwell in safety. Right? And we help them get that into their minds so that the Holy Spirit could bring it to them at the right time. So hopefully when they wake up at 3 a.m, the Holy Spirit can fill their mind with that and keep them from coming into my bedroom and disrupting my sleeping in peace, right? So that was the idea, is to say, put these things in our mind so we fill our minds with these truths and the Holy Spirit can remind us of them right at the right time when we need it. And it's important while we're talking about the Holy Spirit and we're talking about the words of Jesus, I want to point out the difference between an advocate and an accuser. Because we already talked about what an advocate is and does. But on the other hand, there's the term accuser, which is a term used for Satan. Because while the Holy Spirit will stand ready to advocate on our behalf, the devil is just as ready to accuse us. Revelation 12:10 calls him the accuser of the brothers and sisters and says that he accuses them before God day and night. Now, remember, Satan stands condemned. He has no power over a believer. That's a fact that he knows and something that he shudders at the truth of. But he can still stand and accuse us. And sometimes you will hear the Holy Spirit saying things like, I will always love you. Right? I will always be with you and love you. Or the Holy Spirit will say, you are a child of God, or you've been made righteous in God's sight. But other times, people hear the voice of the accuser saying things like, you have no one and no one cares about you. Or saying, you aren't worthy of God's love and you never will be. Or telling them the world would be better off without you. And those are such drastically different voices and messages that we need to make sure we understand clearly what we are listening to, so that we know which voice to listen to and we know which voice to say, God, I submit my life fully to you, and I call on the devil to flee. I resist his lies, because the Bible tells us when we do that, Satan has no power and he has to flee. We have to learn to discern and to separate the voices of the advocate and the accuser, because the voice of the advocate teaches us and reminds us of the words of Jesus. And when those are not Jesus' words, we know where they are coming from. Now, in the next chapter, at the end of chapter 15, Jesus, he continues to assure and to promise his disciples about what the Spirit of truth will do. And he says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will show us who Jesus is, and we do that so we can show that to the world. The Holy Spirit will point to who Jesus is, to what Jesus did on earth, to what Jesus stands for, to what he values, to the truth that he embodies. Because everything the Holy Spirit does is and will always be consistent with the nature of Jesus. So when something is inconsistent with the nature of Jesus, it's inconsistent with what we see in Scripture, we can dismiss that is clearly not the work of the Holy Spirit. We don't even have to question that. It's a thing that we can make clear. I had somebody come to me a while ago and they said, I think that God is telling me to leave my husband. I said, man, I'm really sorry to hear that. Is your husband, has he been unfaithful or has he been abusive in any way? And she said, no. I said, then I've got to tell you a hard truth. That's not the Holy Spirit talking to you, right? Because that is in contrast with the truth of what we already know is the nature of God. And so God will not contradict himself through his Spirit. The Spirit bears witness to who Jesus is. And then we have to do the same thing. Our job as followers of Jesus is to carry that message forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have to bear witness to who Jesus is and to what Jesus did to rescue the world. It's not just all about us. Because the Holy Spirit shows us who Jesus is so that we can show that to the world. In the next chapter in John 16, 4 through 6, Jesus says, I've told you this so that when the time comes, their time comes, you will remember that I warned you about them. We'll get to that in a second. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I've said these things. Jesus tells his followers, listen, I got to tell you this now because hard times are going to come and I don't want you to think that you're alone through those. And I don't want you to walk away from what you've come to know is true in our time together. And all you guys seem to be able to focus on right now is the grief that I'm leaving. But guess what, guys? This isn't all bad news. He's like, listen, stay with me. Look at the next verse. In verse 7, he says, very truly, I tell you, it is for your good that I'm going away. You hear them be like, what? It's for our good? Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. He says, this is for your good. Jesus, as a God who has limited himself by taking on the form of a human body, can only be in one place at one time. And so while he's with the disciples right now, he's saying, this is actually for your benefit that I leave. Because when I go, the advocate will come and he will be able to be with all of you always, wherever you go. And Jesus tells his disciples that the Holy Spirit will benefit us and it will fulfill God's plan. He says it will benefit us and fulfill God's plan. Now, Jesus, he has this peace all along that God's plan is being fulfilled. But it feels like it's a peace that he can't properly communicate to the disciples. This has been a hard thing for them to grasp and to appreciate that Jesus' death is ultimately for their benefit. Right? But they don't have the hindsight that we do in this. But we know that he came to die and that he always knew that. It doesn't mean it was easy on him. You can read about the Garden of Gethsemane this week as we lead up to Easter, and you can see the anguish and the pain. But he understands this whole time on earth, it's always been about the fulfillment of the Father's plan. And that his death, while it will be very hard on his disciples, will also be life-changing for them. For a few reasons. First, his death, we know, will pay the price once and for all for their sins. There was no other way that could have happened. There was no one else that could have paid that price. And so no one else could have made them and later on us righteous in God's sight. And Jesus knows his death will do that. But second, he knows that him leaving this earth to return to heaven will enable the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And he knew that would benefit all of us in incredible ways. Just a couple weeks ago, when Pastor Vern was talking about the story of Lazarus in John 11, we saw this seeming dilemma where the people around Jesus, they needed him to be in two places at the same time. And so now he's sending the Holy Spirit who can be everywhere at the same time. When we get in our cars and we leave here in a little bit, the Holy Spirit won't just stay here in Northgate and wait for us to return next weekend. Right? If you read the Old Testament and they have the tabernacle and there's the Holy of Holies and the presence of God rests in there and it stays there and the people, they go out and they do their stuff and they come back and God, the presence of God is there. But the difference is when we leave, when we go out those doors and we get in the car and we go, we see the Holy Spirit turning and going north and south on Bank Street, right? Going with us and going all over, going to Albion and going to Bergen and going to Elba and going to the places that we are going to be this week with each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit can come with you and can spend the week with all of us wherever we are. And Jesus knew that was for their benefit and for ours. Then a little later in chapter 16, get verses 12 to 15. Here's what he says. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear now. I think he's kind of overwhelmed the disciples. And he's like, all right, we gotta cut this session here. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Jesus, he knows his disciples. They've had all they can handle for now. And there's still more truth for them to know. There's more things for them to learn. And again, he turns to the Holy Spirit for this. And he says the Holy Spirit will serve as a conduit from God and Jesus to us as the believers, passing on the truth that he's given from them. And Jesus promises us that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth from Jesus. Now, this ultimately leads to the creation of our Bible, to the scriptural truths that we read, to these books that were divinely inspired by God. Because the Bible is inspired, it's God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. The gospel accounts, the letters to churches and people, the prophets and the law that the Jews had in the New Testament that would then become our Old Testament, all of that is God-breathed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, he gives this preemptive strike that even though the New Testament isn't even written yet, it will all be true, and that the Holy Spirit will make known, will make them filled with the truths of Jesus. So Jesus, he promised to his disciples and to us that the Holy Spirit will help us and be with us forever, that it will teach us and remind us of the words of Jesus, that it will show us who Jesus is so that we can show that to the world. He promised us the Holy Spirit will benefit us and fulfill God's plan and will guide us into all truth from Jesus. So here's the question. Here's what matters the most. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to do those things in your life? You have access to all of this. So are you utilizing this incredible life-changing power, this advocate that God sent to the world for us? Or are you ignoring or underestimating this incredible gift? This was my first real God moment when we went to Rwanda, and we weren't even there yet. We were in the Middle East on a layover, and I realized the intensity that I was praying with. I realized the reliance that I had on God as we were going through, and our kids were suddenly on the other side of the world, and we're going totally out of our comfort zone, and we're doing all this stuff. And I remember going down this stairway and praying that the Holy Spirit would be with us and would guide us, and that God would protect our kids. And I remember this very clear moment of God saying, you know, you don't have to go to Africa to have access to me this way, right? And I remember wrestling with that and being like, no, yeah, I know that's true. And I realized that the issue is the idea of self-sufficiency, that I can get up and I can go through my normal day and I can do the things that I have to do and I can face the challenges that I have to face. And deep inside, I feel pretty sure that I can do all that on my own and do pretty well. God says, that's not what I've given you. That's not why I sent this advocate, so that you could just go through and do things on your own, because we believe that we're self-sufficient. And sometimes we live like that until life knocks us down so hard that we realize how just insufficient we are on our own. And then we say, God, please, I need you. I need your Holy Spirit. Now, for some of you, this is what you've been looking for. This is the answer that you've been searching for, because you've given your life to Jesus and you want to follow him, but it just feels like this constant cycle of striving and falling short. And Jesus says, I sent you the answer. I sent this advocate for you. The answer isn't just you trying harder to be a better person. It's the very Spirit of God filling you and changing who you are. And sometimes you'll be in a situation and something will happen and you'll think, man, I would not have reacted the way that I just did 5 or 10 years ago, right? That would have really gotten me. And that makes sense. The Bible talks about it in such dramatic terms. It talks about our old sinful nature dying and us becoming a brand new creation. And so we know for something to nurture, or for something to thrive, it needs to be nurtured, right? That's how the world works. And so our responsibility is to nurture the Holy Spirit, is to pray and invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, and then nurture the Holy Spirit by filling our life with the words of God, right? By feeding the Holy Spirit, by being together in church and being in a small group with other believers and making our life a place, a temple where the Spirit of God can thrive. And on the other hand, we have to take that old sinful nature and we have to starve it until it dies. Don't ever try and feed that old sinful nature just a little bit and think that it will be satisfied. If you feed it, it will grow bigger and stronger and it will want to be fed more. So you deny it and you starve it and you squash it until it dies completely and you don't even recognize the person that you used to be. And every single day, every day without fail, don't miss a day. Pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will be with you. that the Holy Spirit will permeate your heart and your soul and your mind, and it will change the very direction of your life, because that is what Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit will do in the life of a Christ follower. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that when Jesus returned to you, that you did not leave us here on our own. That God, you saw fit to send this advocate for us. God, I pray that we will be people who welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit into our lives every single day and in every situation that we face. That God, we will handle things not on our own strength and power and wisdom, but God, by the strength and power and wisdom you gave to the Spirit for us. So Lord, help us to be people that are fully submitted to you, that are filled with your Spirit, and that allow that to guide and direct our lives. For your glory, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.